We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn. We've got a great show for you today. It's been many years that we've talked about it, but this week includes Gimel Tammuz, which is the yahrzeit of the Lubavitch Rebbe. Gimel Tammuz is going to be on. We celebrated or commemorated on Gimel Tammuz, which is the Hebrew date, but the English date is June the 25th this year. They change every year. They don't line up every year, so it's different. We'll talk about that some other time. So we're talking about Gimel Tammuz. We have a wonderful assortment of wonderful Jewish music throughout the show. During the second half hour of the show, we'll be talking about the portion of Korach. Some good Bible stories there. That's in Numbers chapter 16 and following. We've got a pretty interesting Hasidic story at the end, very apropos for the times that we're living in. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A rocket was fired from Gaza into southern Israel for the first time since early May. Israel responded with airstrikes and tank fire on Hamas posts. A Hamas spokesman said that Hamas would respond with military action if Israel annexes parts of the West Bank. Israel is going into emergency mode, listen up, Michigan, as the number of cases of COVID has nearly doubled since the beginning of June. Masks and social distancing are mandatory in public spaces. Israel's borders remain closed to non-citizens until at least July 1st. An El Al plane carried over 200 Israelis stuck in Panama, Costa Rica, and Colombia for more than 3 months. Israel is allowing returning Israelis to come back and must spend 2 weeks in quarantine upon arrival. The Israeli Navy captured a ship off the coast of Gaza filled with munitions bound for Hamas. Two Palestinians were arrested. Some anti-Semitic incidences around the world. A wall of the Jewish cemetery in the southern Polish city of Tarno was spray-painted with anti-Semitic sayings. A white sheet, this person at least was considerate enough, he didn't spray it actually on the monument, but a white sheet spray painted with anti-Semitic and white supremacist slogans was hung on the walls of the National Holocaust Memorial in Tennessee, and a fountain dedicated to Holocaust survivors that also was used for ritual hand washing inside the Santa Rosa Jewish Cemetery in California was smashed. Police are investigating it to determine if it was a hate crime. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are in studio with Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. He is the Chabad representative in Farmington Hills, Michigan. This Monday night, Tuesday, is the yahrzeit, the anniversary of the passing of the Lubavitch Rebbe. How are you today, Rabbi Bergstein?
Thank God. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Okay, so there has been a lot of talk about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, probably even more in the last 23 years than there was even during the 40-something years that the Rebbe was a Jewish leader. What would, in your opinion, what would you say would be, if you could whittle it down to one thing, what was the Rebbe's greatness?
He was consistent and devoted to everyone.
Okay, explain that, please.
Okay, I'll tell you a story.
Go ahead.
The Crown Heights has a police force. I think it's the 72nd or 71st precinct. And they would go around the clock. They would change guards around 770. And the boys knew the policeman by name, by first name. And they would talk to the boys in the yeshiva. One of the policemen was an Italian policeman who noticed that the boys were crowding around a guy who he hadn't seen ever before. He says, "What's with this guy?" he said to one of the boys that he knew. He says, "Well, this guy didn't have any children for about 10 years, and he went to the Rebbe, Rabbi Schneerson, and this past week he had a little boy. And so he's coming to share his joy with the boys." So the policeman says, "Well, what would happen? I need a child. I haven't had children. That's been disturbing my marriage. We got all kinds of issues. Would the Rebbe bless somebody who wasn't Jewish?" So they said, "Yes." He says, "Well, how do I do that?" So they told him, "You're part of the entourage that goes in front of the Rebbe's car when the Rebbe goes to the gravesite of his father-in-law. When you go the next time, you'll stop, and as the Rebbe leaves, you'll ask the Rebbe for a blessing for a child and tell him your name and your father's name." Sure enough, that's what happened. The day later, he was escorting the Rebbe to the gravesite in Montefiore Cemetery in Queens, and the policeman got out and says, "Rebbe, I need a blessing for a child. I've been childless for several years. It's disturbing the marriage." And the Rebbe asked his name and his father's name. And sure enough, 9 months later, a little boy was born to this Italian police officer, who among the names that he gave the child, gave him a name, Menachem Mendel.
Uh-huh.
And he told the child, "I want you to know, you were born through a blessing of a holy Jew, a rabbi. And I want you to know that he wasn't just the rabbi of the Jewish people, he was the rabbi of the whole world." And that encapsulates the Rebbe. The Rebbe was someone who cared about everyone, and he was there for all of us while he was alive. And our belief is that at his gravesite, one can ask for blessings and intercession on high for everyone.
Okay, so now there have been lots of books that have come out in the last 23 years since the Rebbe's passing. There's a new one coming out that just came out called My Story. It's personal encounters that the people had with the Rebbe. It's actually very well done. It's done by Jem. We had Elkanah Shmutkin on a couple of weeks ago talking about the early years, and he did tell us that this was coming out. And so this is my official review. If you can get your hands on a copy of it, I strongly recommend that story. It's called My Story, Encounters with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So people, there are lots and lots and lots of people. There's probably several thousand interviews that were done that they called these 41 interviews, that showed some sort of unique relationship with the Rebbe. And there's one point that seems to come is repeating throughout the book, is that when the Rebbe was dealing with this specific person, that person felt like they were the only person in the world, the only thing that the Rebbe had in his mind. Maybe you could elaborate on it a little more, Rabbi Bernstein.
The Rebbe, when he took something on, took it on with his whole soul. I had a friend, his name was Tuvia Lerner. Tuvia Lerner had a disease in his nerves that was going to kill him by the time he was 30. He was an orphan. His mother complained that he had no father, so the Rebbe says, "I'll be his father." And every week, Tuvia Lerner, this little boy, cantankerous troublemaker, would have to give the Rebbe a report of what he did the entire week. In 1967, exactly 50 years ago, there was a war in Israel. There were no telephones going back and forth, and there was no mail service. As soon as the war was over, there were only two people that I recall in yeshiva that got telephone calls, person to person in the yeshiva telephone, because there was only about two or three telephones in the village. One of them was to me, because my mother was afraid that I had gotten injured or worse during the war because she hadn't heard from me. And the other was a person-to-person call from the Rebbe's office telling Tuvia that the Rebbe hasn't received his weekly report and he should make sure that the Rebbe gets it. Now, you have to understand that thousands and thousands of people were writing the Rebbe with life and death issues. Israel had gone through a danger to 2.5-3 million people, and the Rebbe was involved in it very, very deeply. And yet, here the Rebbe had time to make sure that this young boy should give him a report, a weekly report, which he hadn't received because there was no mail, and the boy should understand that the Rebbe was expecting it. And that shows you the depth of his relationship, that no matter how busy he was, he had every single individual prioritized. Everyone was an only child, and everyone was given special care.
Mm-hmm. So you've been hanging around Lubavitch for quite a long time. Do you have any personal encounters that you'd like to share, Rabbi Chaim Moshe Brickstein?
I've had other dramatic ones, but the most, I can't say exciting one was when I went with my bride to personal private audience with the Rebbe, and the Rebbe started giving us blessings for our children and that we would establish a Dor Yashar Mivorach, a proper and good generation, and we'll have pleasure from them, and God will have pleasure from you and from them. But I wanted the Rebbe to say, Chassidus Shenachas, and Chassidim should have pleasure from you. And as soon as I thought that, the Rebbe looked at me and said, and smiled, Chassidim will also have Nachas from you. The Rebbe obviously read my mind, knew exactly what was there, and the Rebbe answered appropriately. It wasn't that the Rebbe knew my mind. It was that he was concerned. He wanted to make sure that the blessing was a blessing that I would accept, and I wanted that text. So the Rebbe said it exactly at the moment that I was thinking about it.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. In 1967, the Rebbe started what was the beginning of the Mitzoyim, the campaigns to encourage people to do mitzvahs, which developed very soon thereafter into the Chabad House movement. So it's been 50 years that Chabad houses have been flourishing. And it's amazing that more Chabad houses have opened up in the last 23 years than there were from 1967 till 1994. What do you attribute the continued growth of the Chabad movement around the world?
The Rebbe was not just an individual. It was not a cult of personality. It was a movement, an ideology, a belief in a faith of transforming the world into a better world. And his teachings are universal, and his teachings are for all times. And the children, the young people who study his works are every bit as enthusiastic and even more enthusiastic than their parents or grandparents when they went out, because they are connected to the essence of what the Rebbe was talking about, as opposed to just a person. The personality. Some people were inspired by a smile. They're inspired by the entire spirituality of the movement, the whole totality of the ideology. And there, I see their enthusiasm. Isn't it less, but it's even more, a lot more. My children have more than me, and my grandchildren more than them.
Okay, so let's explain that, because it's a spirituality in our world. We're all stuck in three dimensions. What are you talking about? What you can't put your finger on it because you can't see it. Okay. So, but what is that?
The soul is not a physical entity. The soul has no physical dimensions. The soul is transcendent above the body. It transverses time and it transverses space. The essence of the soul. It is only the soul that's locked in the body that's limited. So we who were students of the Rebbe, we heard the Rebbe, we were connected to what was revealed in the body. But the soul, the infinite soul, that pure soul that's transcendent, that we never got from directly. But that soul is what is manifest today after he's gone. And from that transcendent soul, that's where we get the inspiration for today's generation. That's the only explanation that I have, because you see them, you see their enthusiasm, you see their love, you see their vision, and it has no logical source except for this, that it's coming from a pure, dynamic, unadulterated soul, soul of the Rebbe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for sharing that. The Rebbe, to say that the Rebbe was a scholar would be not exactly a compliment, because the Rebbe was more than a scholar. But there are over 200 existent works of the Lubavitcher, volumes of works. It takes up a whole bookcase, the things that the Rebbe said, the teachings that the Rebbe conveyed in his almost 50 years of being the Rebbe. What was unique about the Rebbe's learning style?
First of all,
the teaching style.
The Rebbe took every aspect of the law, of the Torah, seriously. There wasn't an extra word, an extra letter. There wasn't an extra phrase. If it was found in the Talmud, then it had a reason for being there. If it was in a series of statements, that statement had to have an order. And the Rebbe was able to discover the simple meaning as well as the profound meaning, the reason why things are the way they are, the reason why they're in that order. And the profundity of his analysis was just breathtaking. There were things that, difficult concepts that took me years to discover. And I thought I discovered those things, and I found buried in a footnote 30 years earlier, the Rebbe had already discussed that and said the exact same thing. I found that his analysis was always spot on, always clear, and very, very easy to follow and understand.
Okay. The world in general, sometimes the Rebbe would come up with a campaign or with a statement which would raise eyebrows. If the Rebbe was, as you described, such a great person, a great leader, why would there be any opposition to any of the campaigns that he instituted?
There is a general rule. The greater the purity, the greater the holiness, the greater is the conflict against it. Whenever you have a great person with a vision, if that person would not to have a conflict, that's a sign that it's not from a pure place. Anything that's good, anything that's necessary, anything that's transformative always has opposition. We're in the middle of the sections of the Torah, and Moses is opposed by 250-plus great rabbis. And you can only imagine the Kol Kore, the picture that they put up on bulletin boards with the names and the titles. 250 Rosh Yeshivas, 250 heads of academies, 250 chief rabbis, all ganging up on this one guy. And don't forget that Moses never studied in an academy in Egypt with the rest of the scholars. He was totally self-taught. Imagine somebody coming today, didn't study in Lakewood, didn't study in Mir or Ponovich, or not even in Lubavitch, and it says, I am the authority. This guy never studied in my yeshiva, never studied in your yeshiva. Who the heck does he think he is? It's exactly the way they looked. They looked at him as an outsider. And even though he was an outsider, look what he did, but he still had opposition. The fact that you have opposition only indicates the profundity and the level of what you're trying to accomplish.
Okay. So what do you see, what do you see for Lubavitch in the future, the Chabad movement in the future, Rabbi Bernstein?
The way it's continuing now, it will just continue to expand. Obviously, there are issues that always come when you have a large organization and you have very, very multifaceted areas of development and concern. You have issues that require addressing. Ultimately, we'll have to have a council of rabbis that will address the issues. Whether there'll be a single person in charge or not, that it remains to be seen. But certainly, there will be a greater effort as to consolidating and to making sure that things are uniform, that they have a uniform standard throughout the extensive organization. But Lubavitch will expand. Lubavitch will continue. It's gotten so far as even in the New York Times, one of the crossword puzzles questions was a Jewish organization that can be found anywhere except on the moon. And that was Chabad House.
Okay. So this segues into the question you mentioned, leadership. There are some 104 Hasidic movements around the world, and they all have their leaders. And then you have other Jewish organizations, Jewish institutions, and they have their leaders. Why is there no replacement for the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Chaim Mischa Bergstein?
The Rebbe was a composite of the ultimate Jewish leader. He was modest. He was brilliant. He had physical attributes of charisma. He was organized. He was dynamic. He was totally devoted to his flock. I mean, besides his organizational skills, he was a composite of a blend of different attributes that are very, very rare in a Jewish leader. We haven't seen a leader like this in hundreds of years. And so that's your answer. I mean, if we were to have a replacement, he'd always be compared to the Rebbe. And that would be most unfortunate. It wouldn't be fair.
Okay, so you're saying the Rebbe was a tough act to follow.
Exceedingly difficult act to follow.
Okay. That's going to wrap us up for this segment of the show. Rabbi Bersingma, thank you so much for turning in and turning on. That's also just a little bit the idea that what goes on in at the Rebbe's grave on Gimel Tammuz, which is starting tomorrow night and
tens of thousands, through Tuesday. Tens of thousands of people, not just Lubavitchers, from all walks of life. You see Sephardic people, you see people, Litvish people, you see Hasidic people, from every single walk of life coming there. There's a group under Rabbi Moshe Wolfson, he should live long years. His group goes there every month to the Rebbe's gravesite because Rabbi Wolfson said he was the last great leader who had the Holy Spirit rest upon him, and going to his grave is the best place to pray. So you'll find thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people going through the gravesite, praying for each one in their own way, praying for assistance, whether it's that a child should get married or to have children, to have a livelihood, to have an effect on the community, to expand one's activities, to be able to be successful in fundraising, to be able to establish a Ferndale Jewish Center, Mirza Hashem, in the most beautiful way, which, by the way, is starting, and it's already taken root, and God should bless it. It should increase, it should grow, and its branches should extend to the entire neighborhood, entire city.
Thank you. Amen.
And so you'll see tens of thousands of people going through on lines. It's organized, extremely organized, and because it's hot, there's a water stations. There's also stations where you see the Rebbe speaking to people and talking about it. And so that inspires you, gets you into the mood. And then there's the various books that people will be reading before they enter, whether it's the special prayers called Mana Lashon or the Book of Psalms, and people will be writing their own personal requests of prayer. This is a holy communion of tens of thousands of people coming together. The most important thing is for your audience. The most important thing that we want is not for our own personal security and success, but for the success of the world that will come through the coming of Messiah, the righteous Messiah in Karav Mamish, and that's the greatest blessing that God can give the Jewish people and the world.
Okay, thank you so much. That's going to do it for us today. Our guest today has been Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. He is the Chabad representative in the Chabad Rabbi in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And we've been talking about Gimel Tammuz and its significance, and we wish you continued success, Rabbi Bergstein. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Compass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. If you know anyone who is or you are experiencing symptoms of COVID-19, call Encompass Healthcare immediately, 248-624-9800. They'll definitely help you get through this one. Up for your listening pleasure, the artist is Nemul. He's a French person, a young man, who's got a great voice. The song is Elohim, which means God.
אם חושך נופל ובחוץ ערפל, תדליק לנו אור בנשמה. בימים של כאב תאזין אל הלב, אולי הוא זועק בדממה.
כי בלב יש סדקים להכניס בו פתקים ואין איש בעולם שידע אבל אבא הטוב כל דמעה יאסוף יענה לנו תרם נקרא אבא תן לנו אושר ונחת אנא תן גם בריאות ושמחה אך אין פרנסה מידך אנא תן לנו את הברכה אלוקים אלוקים רק אליך פונים כי אתה לא חוסך עבר תקבל אפילו למלא משאלות לטובה חושך נופל ובחוץ ערפל תדליק לנו אור בנשמה בימים של כאב תאזין אל הלב אולי הוא זועק בדממה מבחוץ השתיקה מבפנים צעקה רק אתה אלוקה מגלה את הסוד ליד כיסא הכבוד יש המון המון מאות הכוס מלאה אין מקום לאות אתה יושב מעל לא תנעל את השאר הגלוי הנסתר לך אותו דבר מן המצר כרתיקה נשמור ממצוקה ומתוך האפילה נצא לאור הגאולה אבא תן לנו אושר ונחת אנא תן גם בריאות ושמחה אך אין פרנסה מידך
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is a wonderful klezmer song. It's a new group. It is called the Menachem Zucker Klezmer Band, and this is called a Hora Medley. And the Hora isn't just Havana Gila. There happens to be one song that they dance the Hora to, but there are a zillion songs, and this one's got a couple of it. It's really great. I love it.
Thank you.
Sahara Melody. Up next, this is Aaron Sitbaum, new on the Jewish music scene. It's Teng Shalom. Make peace.
אתה בורא העולם, יוצר האדם, מבין את כולם. בורא כל הלבבות, כל הנשמות, שומע תפילות. הושט לנו ידך, שמור את עמך, שלא נדע מלחמה, צרה וגזרה. תן שלום בעולם, שלום בין כולם, אהבה של חינם, כבוד לאדם. יאיר על כל העולם, אור גדול יאיר, יאיר על כולם. אתה אבא גדול, אתה כל יכול, כולנו שלך. תפילה של תקווה, שלח ברכתך. הושט לנו ידך, שמור את עמך, שלא נדע מלחמה, צרה וגזרה.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community. And Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, we will be reading in the synagogue the portion of Korach. It is found in the book of Numbers in chapter 16, and I suppose you could say it ties in with like the holiday, the commemoration of the Rebbe's Yahrzeit, as the Hashalah HaKodesh was a 17th century philosopher writes, that it's not by mere chance that any holiday falls in a given week, and that there's a direct correlation between the portion of the week and events that happen during that week. So there's something about Korach and the passing of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and that will be further emphasized in the Hasidic story. Stay tuned for the end of the show. What was the deal with Korach? Korach overstepped his bounds. Thought he was a good guy. You know, I deserve more. Which it seems to have been the theme for like the last 3 weeks. There's this incident in Porshin Bahalosacha, the incident where the people were getting mad and they had all their needs taken care of. And they wanted more. We want meat. And God said over there, what's the matter? You're testing me. You can't live without me. I have to give you meat too. And then the last week's portion, the spies, they had it good. They're going into Israel. No, we want to stay in the desert. We want to have a nice life. And God also said, how long are these people going to put me to the test? Can't you just like accept what good that you have? And it's the same thing also with Korach. Korach was the point carrier for the Holy Ark. There were four people who carried the Ark, and he was the front right. This is like, he's a somebody. What did he want? He wanted to go into the Holy of Holies. He wanted to be the high priest. Not acknowledging that what the Almighty has given us is not, it's not gracious. Everybody should look back at the end of their day. This is one of those things. This is not the primary thing I'm talking about, but at the end of the day, look back and say to yourself, this good thing happened to me. No matter what your situation has been, this is how I got through 3 months of staying in place. Is every single day you have to make it something, and then you have to make it something. It's not just going to happen. Sometimes it does happen, but that's good. But you have to make it happen in whatever situation you are. And then when you look back at your day, you could say, thank God this happened. This is an awesome thing that happened. After the whole thing was over, the rebellion was squashed. He led a rebellion against Moses, against Aaron. And he says that he was one of those persons who sought more than what he had and lost everything that he did have. If you grab for too much, you get nothing. And after the rebellion was squashed, Aaron was instructed, along with the 12 princes of the other tribes, to take their walking staffs and to plant them into the courtyard of the Holy of Holies and just stick them in the ground. And Aaron's was in the middle of this circle of 12 sticks. And the next day they came back, and Aaron's stick miraculously had sprouted, budded, bloomed, and was already producing almonds. As an indication that Aaron domes, and in fact, Aaron's walking stick was kept in the Holy of Holies next to the Holy Ark that contained the tablets that Moses walked down, God brought down from the mountain. It says, so the first question comes up and says, almonds? Why almonds? There's lots of things. It's not even one of the seven fruits which Israel is praised for. They do grow almonds in Israel. I have hanging on my wall in my living room a picture painted by the great Israeli artist, You Should Live Long and Be Healthy, Baruch Nachshon. The hills of Hebron. It was painted 40 years ago when there were almond trees growing in the hills of Hebron. Now there's high-rise apartment buildings. That's another story. So, but why almonds? The word for Hebrew for almonds is shkedim. The word shkida means a speed and alacrity. And Aaron was known for, if there's something that needed to be done, he was Mr. Johnny on the spot. He was Mr. Speed, Mr. Alacrity. He needed to get the job done. And what was the job that he got done? Well, we turn to Pirkei Avos, the Ethics of Our Fathers, which we read this week, where it says, you should be, Hillel says, you should be like the students of Aaron the high priest, that he loved peace, pursued peace, and loved all creatures and brought them close to God. meaning to say, he calls it the verses that the person quotes is all creatures, that meaning to say, the only thing you could think good about this person, you should think good about something, everybody, but the only good thing you could come up is, well, God created him, must be a reason why. He's got a purpose. Bring them close. That's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe's message was all about. This idea of the Rebbe spent his whole entire life trying to push the issue of bringing the Mashiach, bringing the Messiah. And we were told 2,000 years ago that the cause of our current exile, what's preventing the Mashiach in the third base of Hamikdash, the third temple, from being built, is that people aren't getting along. There's discord and disunity and disharmony. And the Rebbe spent close to 50 years preaching unity, harmony, love your fellow as yourself. That's what the deal is over there. We are going to back out for our last commercial break. Don't go away. We've got this awesome Hasidic story at the end. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Encompass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hello, Shulton. I heard you listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com, RabbiFinman.com. You'll find right there on the homepage a link to contact me. I welcome all fan mail, any comment, criticism, query, question, etc. It's all good, and we're really in the swing of things. So write a letter to me, and I'll write one back to you, and it'll all be good. What else will you find on RabbiFinman.com? Well, there's archived editions of the radio show. You can also listen to archived editions of the radio show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. The Jewish Hour is there. Make life convenient for you. There's also ways in which we convey Judaism in an entertaining and educational way, both in letter missive. There's a thing I write up every week, and then there's also videos and there's classes. All that's on RabbiFinman.com. We make it so that it's easy to use and that you can hopefully find it educational and entertaining. You'll also find the very important donations page. Yes, you know the expression, you got to pay to play. We have to pay to play. It costs, and the Jewish Hour has always been listener-sponsored by listeners like yourself. So go to the donations page, click on whatever number suits your fancy, and the very important donation page. Jewish Hour has always been listener-supported by listeners such as yourself. We have not been able to survive for 25 years on our own. We have always needed, from day one, we have needed your help, and you've come through. So go to RabbiFinman.com. Click on the donations page. Do it. It's safe, secure. Through PayPal, you can make it monthly donations for smaller amounts if one big donation is not good enough, or if you can't do that. Understood. If you don't like doing internet credit cards, understood. There, we aim to please. Drop your donation in the mail to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. So, this story happened about 30 years ago. There's a restaurant, an Israeli restaurant in Manhattan. The proprietor's name was David, which is David. And one day, somebody walked into his restaurant, sat down. The guy was kind of disheveled a little bit, had like long stringy hair, and was like kind of like a little bit tattered clothes, a shirt that was like one of these plaid shirts that was kind of worn at the elbows. And he went over and said, "Hey, can I help you?" And he's looking at the menu. He says, "Do you have shawarma?" And he says, "Yeah, we have shawarma." He said, "I'd like a shawarma, please." And he says, "Yes, and what's your name?" He says, "His name is James." So he says, "So James, how do you know about shawarma?" I guess 30 years ago, people didn't know so much about shawarma. Now it's almost as ubiquitous as hummus. But 30 years ago, people didn't know about hummus either. So he said, "What are you talking? Ani meharetz. I'm Israeli." So he said, "With the name James?" And he said, "My name is Chaim. Good Jewish name. But I came here so in order to make a living so people can't say Chaim. So I changed it to James," which is not that far-fetched. So I have a cousin whose name is Chaim, and he was born in Cuba, and so they called him Chaimi. So Chaimi, because it was related to Chaim, so it's Chaimi. But Chaimi in Spanish, when you come to America, is Jimmy. So he was my cousin Jimmy. Anyway, so he got him a shawarma, and he says, in the meantime, so he sees he's a Jewish guy. So he started talking to him about things at Lubavitcher. So he started talking to this Jimmy about matters of Torah. And Jimmy was very interested, and he came back a couple times a week, and for a bunch of weeks. He always ordered shawarma, and David always told him some kind of insights into the portion, these type of things. So after a while, David said to Jimmy, "Listen, I have a young fellow who studies in Lubavitcher Yeshiva. He'd be willing to set up some kind of a regular learning thing with you. Would you be interested in that?" And he said, "Yeah." So he says, "Give me your card. You have somewhere." So he hands him his card, and Jimmy happens to be a hedge fund manager. So the disheveled clothes are like, okay, fine. So working on Wall Street. So he turns it over to a bacher, one of his students. His name is Schnur. And she comes in. "How's it going with Schnur?" "Yeah, it's very good." And suddenly he just stopped coming around. He didn't see him for a while. A year went past. He forgot about him. He bumped into Schnur. And he said, "What's doing with Jimmy?" He says, "You wouldn't believe it." He says, "We learn regularly. And now... I told him that recently that he has he's putting on tefillin and he's starting to keep Shabbos a little bit. And I told him that if he wants to fulfill the mitzvahs of Lubavitcher Rebbe, that we discussed, it came up in one of the talks that we're talking about, that it says, he who knows Aleph should teach Aleph. Don't wait till you learn Beis." This was a motto of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You don't have to know everything to be a teacher. If you know one thing, you could teach it to somebody else. And that someone else will learn it too. So he started to ham and to bab. Who am I? What am I? But he got it ready, and he's been teaching for a while. And he's been doing that. He says, "That's great." Some time went by, actually about 10 years went by. And one day David is in his restaurant, and somebody walks in with a hat, with a beard, nicely dressed, well coiffed. And he comes up to him and he says, "Makirati, do you recognize me?" And he said, "No, I don't." "So should I?" He said, "Yeah, I'm Jimmy." And he was flabbergasted. He was a religious Jew. And he said, "What happened?" And he said, "I'll tell you. Your schnur that you sent me." So I started every week. I started making a Shabbos party. I would invite people. And during the Shabbos party, I would say over the lesson that I had learned with schnur. Because schnur said, if you know Aleph, you should teach Aleph. Okay, it took me a while to get used to it, but the party became very popular, and more, we had 40, 50 people were coming to this party, and I was catering the whole thing. And then someday I realized that, you know, I'm the one at this party, and I'm talking about all these lessons of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I should really become religious. And indeed, I became totally and completely religious. And I met a young woman, an Israeli woman, and we've been living in Montreal. And here I am. So David was flabbergasted. He said, all that because of shawarma? He said, wait. He says, when I was just walking down the street, just coming to here, I ran into somebody who was wearing a black hat with a beard with a coat. And he stopped me, and he called me Rabbi Jimmy. I said, Rabbi Jimmy, who what? He said, I was one of the participants at your party, and the words that you struck, if you could bring the music up behind me, Tony, the words that you would say at those parties went deep into my heart, and I also felt the need to come closer to Judaism. So that's it. The lesson is, if you know a little bit, teach a little bit. That's going to do it for the week. We hope we have a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. If you're so inclined, on Wednesday night to Thursday night, write a letter to Ohel Chabad ohelchabad.org, and send off a letter of request for blessing to the Lubavitcher Rebbe's grave, and God hopefully will shower blessings upon you, and it will all be good things. I want to thank you so much. Till next week, take care.